Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love. Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day fiance.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes. Let's love.
It's a morning show.
You make me wanna snoop, snoop da doop, snoop da doop, snoop da doop.
Remember that? Oh, that the. Remember when like R&B had those just random singers?
Yeah,
and they would just kind of, you just hear like a gospel line come out, and then someone would sing another line.
You know, I would love to see, you know, that documentary 10 Minutes from Fame. You've seen, or 10 Minutes from, you saw
Stardom.
You saw that, right?
Not. You're garbling this. It's not 10 minutes from fame. It's
10
like
feet from stardom.
Something like that.
I've got to look it up. Did you see it?
Yes, it's great.
It is. Ah, drop the mic.
But like, what's her name? Faith Evans made a lot of money just by kind of like singing kind of like background on people's tracks.
But wouldn't it be
in the
nice
90s
to have like a documentary of those? Because some of those, I think those women had stories.
Yeah, a lot of it's sampled. A lot of it's sampled.
Like,
so,
I want to meet the one really from Technotronic.
Oh.
Who was that woman?
I don't know.
It's 10 feet from stardom. It
yeah,
is
10 feet from stardom. Not 10 minutes from fame. You started.
It's true. But because there was another song, too. What did it? We did it.
This is already off the rails.
It said something like slamming. It was like slamming, slamming. Ba 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 da da da. Whoa, whoa, gotta get it.
Oh, was that another Black Box hit?
Whoa, whoa, yeah.
I don't know that song.
I only know it because I think it might be called Slamming because it was our dance number in show choir when we stopped singing and we just did a dance number to that. And so that was, it was very intense.
Wait.
It was, because we always wanted to do a dance number to showcase Lone Grove Show Choir's dance.
The white step-touch dancing?
It was maybe, when I look back on it, it's kind of like when you sing karaoke and y'all Poodle loves to sing This Is How We Do It.
I am good.
It is good, and it is one of the whitest things I've seen in my life.
I can't argue with that.
And I can't. This is kind of what this was. This was people who are, it was kind of Guffman-ish. It was people who are not dancers thinking that they're doing like, this is your major chorus line dance number.
I've never heard of a show choir doing a dance number without singing.
Well, the Corvettes at Southeastern University would do it. There was a show choir college group, the Corvettes. And so,
but they actually probably danced.
Not really well. It was still a lot of just white people in their college years that were white choir nerds. Now they were in a show choir in college called the Corvettes. And it was usually just gay men and women. But now the Corvettes,
We need to get through this.
But my choir teacher...
we can't touch on the Corvettes.
My choir teacher and his wife met in the Corvettes. So we got special dance numbers that the Corvettes did. We were able to do at our high school, and it was a legitimate...
I need to know if anyone's show choir had a standalone dance number when they did not sing. Because this seems to me... to be just
it was
wrong.
No, it was good because this year it also looked good because we had like the guys were wearing t-shirts, black pants, and that's when we had the silver sequin jackets and the women had the sequin the black halter top dresses with the different silver like skirt that kind of flourished. So it looked good in the lights when we danced.
Looked good.
We did have to modify some for Dennis Gothard, you know, because he had that limp. He had that limp.
Yeah.
Not just his thumb.
His thumb that was gone.
But he also, like, lost part of his leg in that motorcycle crash. So,
okay. He had a limp. This is where I draw... No. We need to talk about the episode.
Where are we?
You're out to lunch today. I'm going to have to turn this car around.
I still want Sonic.
We need to move on.
I just would rather talk about show choir than Big Ed.
You know, I got to agree with you there. But let's dig in. Why is he always the first one?
They always show him first, yeah. And they usually end with him.
I feel like, again, it's TLC's another attempt, or Discovery Plus's attempt to make us, like, make him palatable. And it's like we're all like chewing Big Ed like he's like poi. You ever eat poi in Hawaii? And people are like, you should try poi. And everyone's like,
and you try it
this
once.
This is bad, but I'm eating it because I should.
I'm in Hawaii.
I eat poi. So everyone's got to eat poi. I don't like it, but I guess I should. You're telling me I should like it. It's very traditional, and I got all the things that are good for me in it, so I should eat it. That's what TLC is doing to us with Big Ed.
That's exactly correct.
It's disgusting, but because we're watching The Single Life, we're going to put him on there, and maybe by the end you'll like him. And you know what? We're how far in? 11 episodes into this heap of garbage?
Like really 7.
No, more than that.
I can't tell because of numbering.
Yeah,
y'all, this is, by the way, this is...
Episode 19?
Episode 19 of season 1, You Make Me Want to Snoop.
You Make Me Want to Snoop. If you couldn't tell for us...
Yeah.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! Gotta get it!
I think we might have a video of that dance performance. I'll see if I can find
it. We have left that behind.
We're moving on.
Because I still have lots of questions, and it will take us further afar afield. I'm ignoring every impulse I have.
The Corvettes try to recruit me out of high school.
Stop it. Because I'm trying to picture what a show choir scholarship would look like.
They recruited
like they came to high schools.
Oh yeah.
No. Where's my jar of pennies that I shake at you? All right. So, y'all, Big Ed and Liz are going, they're in Las Vegas to see his daughter, Tiffany. Because what else do you do after 3 or 4 weeks of dating? But you meet your much older boyfriend's daughter.
My favorite part is when she kind of bites on my top lip.
Blech.
I wrote no.
My favorite kissing.
Yes, my favorite. He's beginning.
I got a girlfriend, everybody. I own her.
He's beginning to believe that it's
the real deal.
Real deal in his heart.
Because everyone else up until now, remember, every girlfriend that Big Ed has is the one.
Is the one.
And I thought it was her, but this one's the one.
Well, because this one reminds him of his daughter.
She's the same.
We're going to get
into
that.
We're going to be the same.
And that's where they are.
We're going to act the same.
The same.
Going to be the same. Because we need to be the same.
Y'all, that's a little Extreme Sisters, which...
I can't get enough of doing that.
It's dropped. Extreme Sisters. Oh, that'll drop tonight. When are they listening to this? Never mind. Saturday is when Extreme Sisters is going to drop.
Because that's when we're...
Both of the episodes on the free feed, and then after that, it goes to the $8 on Reality Gays Extra. So check it out. So they're in Vegas to see Liz, and Liz is kind of like, look.
At first, I thought it was too fast.
But you know what? We might as well,
get it over with.
Because he beat her down.
Yeah.
Because he pushed past her boundaries.
Yeah.
And it's too...
He doesn't understand boundaries.
It's too hard to... It is exhausting...
To fight
with, yep, Ed, because he just... And we see this kind of at the beginning of the next episode, because we're doing two episodes today. But we'll see this in episode 21. He's just relentless.
It makes me so angry
A man not respect any woman's boundary at all.
Yes, but also just to see another human being.
Yeah.
Not respect. Besides the sexual politics of gender that are happening here.
You said this when you went on his poodle. We really need to get you a soapbox again.
Y'all, I'm afraid to step on it like it might break.
If you have a soapbox with some lug nuts on it.
It needs to be big.
Send it to Poodle, because he got on the soapbox about Ed a couple of episodes ago. But it was so true, because something you said then really hit me is, what if the roles were reversed?
Totally.
Like if we would be freaking out right now.
Yeah.
Completely freaking out.
Yep.
Like it makes me sick to my stomach.
Anyway.
Sorry, I imagined it too much and it kind of took my words from me.
So Liz is younger than Tiffany. And so Liz is worried about that.
Yep.
And the next day, Liz is nervous because it's the first girlfriend that Tiffany, because Big Ed could lower the stakes for her, but he's keeps saying, no, you're just the same person.
You're the same.
And then she's like, but you know, you are older and you are the first girlfriend that she's ever met.
And Liz says, stop saying we're the same. That's creepy. Like, that kind of creeps me out.
Because Liz is the voice of everyone.
Kind of. But yes, this is the first girlfriend that she's ever met. Y'all, Tiffany shows up at the restaurant, and she sits down, and it's immediately like, you know when, it reminded me of when I was...
Get it out.
When I was a little kid, and we were at my grandpa's, and he had some neighbor kids. There's this girl named Charlotte and her brother. I think his name was like something with a C, like Carl or something. And we were playing in the creek and like throwing dirt daubers at each other and just like dodging them.
Dirt daubers? Those are wasps.
Or not dirt daubers. What mud dauber? We called them something where you just...
Clods?
Yes, clods. Just throwing clods at each other, little things of mud.
We need to wake you up. You're not all there today.
I had a coffee. No, I couldn't remember that word, clods, which is very country.
It's sure dementia.
You did that probably. You did that too though, right?
Yeah.
So, y'all, if you're thinking, what, you just threw mud at each other?
No, you do that in the country.
That's what you do in the country. But I didn't know. I picked up one, and it threw it at her, and it had a rock in it. I didn't know. But it hit her in the neck, and she started to bleed.
Oh, my God.
And I ran home, and my mother was sitting there because they had already called them. And you know when you sit, and you're just sitting there in silence because your mother is seething? That is the way Tiffany came into this meeting with them.
Boy, that took us a long way to get there.
I wanted to paint a picture.
I kind of know what you're talking about
now. You
know
when you came home and Mother Poodle was just sitting there?
You mean Liz.
Not Liz. Tiffany comes in with this energy of like.
But Tiffany comes in and your mother was sitting there.
I know, but it's the same energy. You know what? I'll work on it.
Yeah.
But it energetically, because Tiffany is basically the parent in this relationship.
Yes.
With Ed, with her father. And it is
because he's a loser.
Yeah. And I don't know. I would love to have been a camera person. I wonder how long the actual silence was that they sat there before they started to speak.
I think a lot of that is edited, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I think things go a lot smoother than we are portrayed, because
probably
reality television is hyped up reality.
I don't know,
but
Tiffany
I will
was
say
pretty rough.
Tiffany is pretty rough. And she does say, Liz is kind of sitting there kind of tasting bile.
Yeah, exactly. And what's the first thing that Tiffany says, Poodle, that's so comforting and open-minded and sweet about Liz?
She's much older than me, or she's older than me, right?
No, she says, maybe you missed this, but she said, you know, Liz is younger than me, but she looks older than me.
That's right. She's older than me.
She looks a little rugged. Botox does wonders.
That was in the confessional. Yeah.
Yes.
Looks a little rugged.
This isn't going to go well, y'all. This isn't going to go well. And so Tiffany finally is like, well, someone has to break the ice, and it might as well be me. That's a clue, Croy.
I know. I liked it when I wrote down, I'm a Tiffany fan. Because she's reading both of them for filth.
She's reading them for filth. I don't know if I'm a fan.
Oh, I am.
I think she's... Well, we'll get into that later. But basically, she brings up and she says, look, it's just weird. If I was dating someone who was 54 years old...
You'd lose it.
He would lose his shit.
Which is true.
And you know what? If I was her, I would do it just to piss him off. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, but you know what? I don't think she wants to expend that much energy. I think she's already kind of written off her father as kind of a user.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't believe, you guys, that Big Ed, that Tiffany is the most important person in his life.
No, and she doesn't feel that. And
all
of this interaction... I felt sorry for Liz in this because this has nothing to do with Liz.
No.
All the dynamics that are happening are all about past bullshit.
Right.
With when he Tiffany, basically, but she's talking about it with Liz, but it's all about Ed.
When he basically told her, and this is the biggest, this is kind of the biggest indiscretion you can ever make to a child. She basically told, Tiffany said, you know, you basically gave me up to date Rose.
You know, and then he said, I'm not going to do that ever again. And then
right.
he did.
And then he did.
And then he did drop her again because of Rose.
Right. So it's kind of like, in that season, we were kind of like, wow, Tiffany's coming hard for him. But you kind of now seeing this season with him, y'all, we get it.
And this just hasn't happened twice.
Yeah, it's every...
This has happened over, and I bet you this is happening. She can count on two hands how many times Ed has chosen someone else over her.
Yeah.
And she's just sick of it. But she's also like, this is my dad, so what do I
That's
do?
That's why she moved to Las Vegas, to find a new family.
Exactly.
She's got her chosen family now.
Exactly. And so Liz even says, I was shocked. She came in hot. And Liz says, I'm... And the thing is Liz doesn't understand what's happening at all. So when she's saying, I'm not Rose, I think we balance each other out, I can be more mature. And Tiffany says... my concern is that he's at a different phase in his life and he's winding down and Ed
this is his fear of mortality.
That's where this all is
he's
that,
like, it's like, I don't want to be old. I'm not old.
It's some,
that's why I always say people younger than me. I'm not old.
I'm
not winding down. I'm not winding down.
I'm not going to die. It's
all
Freud death anxiety shit. It's all about
mortality, his own.
This isn't about Liz. It's not about Rose. It's about Ed feeling like he's going to live forever and he can't fucking deal with that.
Right.
He's been in a midlife crisis for 20 years.
And he needs, dead on. And he needs younger women specifically around him, or just younger people in general. He doesn't hang out with people who are his age.
No.
So it's all of this kind of vampirism. He needs.
Is that a word?
Vampirism, yes.
I've never heard it, but
I
like it.
The act of being a vampire.
See, I heard vampirism, and I imagine you again in your saloon girl outfit, just vamping and going, hey, boys.
Hey, boys, I've been vamping for several hours.
Is that a revolver in your pants, or are you just happy to see me?
I need to bring in that saloon owner character.
You really need a saloon girl outfit.
I really do feel like I was definitely a saloon girl.
You want a saloon girl cameo? Come at Poodle. He's got the wig for it.
No, I really need to buy a new one if I'm going to do a saloon girl. I don't know what I would do. I'm going to have to think about that character.
What is her name?
I just inspired you. It would be Miss something.
We're going to work on it.
Miss Poodle McGillicuddy? Possibly.
I think, isn't that?
Miss Poodle Gentile?
Gentile. I'm going to look up.
It would have Miss in front of it. We're way afield.
Where we are. Saloon.
Okay, girl, while you do that, I'm going to talk about Big Ed. This is so stupid. There's something where Tiffany basically says, or Liz is saying, sometimes I feel like I'm more mature than Ed in aspects.
Yes.
And then he's like, in aspects of blah, blah, blah. And then Tiffany just basically tells him, I think, well, while Liz is there, you could get your heart broken again. You know, yeah. As I've told you. Y'all, Tiffany has realized, probably there were a couple of phases through this,
mm-hmm.
that Tiffany was parenting Ed for a while. He was, basically, she was kind of in charge. He basically let her down, chose someone else over her a couple of times, and she finally got fed up with it, moved away from him. Then kind of the relationship was strained. He tried to make overtures back in. Then they were kind of okay for a while. Now she knows she's just trying to keep her boundaries. So yeah. people will, we were like, boy, Tiffany's harsh on that last season. But I'm a Tiffany fan because now you see the boundaries she set. She's trying to.
I don't love, and we'll talk about this more next episode. We got a little bit. I don't love the way she treated Liz.
No.
I don't think that's called for.
No, that's not fair.
And calling her rugged on TV and that she needs Botox. Like, that's,
no, it's not fair.
That's petty.
Yeah.
And that has.
I don't think Liz looks that old.
And also, I think it's probably, it's too vulnerable and hurtful to her.
Exactly.
To look at actually the relationship just with her father.
Yeah.
Because it's never going to work out. So
no,
she has
I agree
to put
with
it
you.
On
I agree with you.
But I agree. I'm a Tiffany in that she's, I mean, she tells Ed what everybody has told Ed. How many people have told Ed during this whole process, you've got to slow down?
Yeah.
Like, at least
don't
like
Don't stop
six.
Rushing. Don't rush me. I made that mistake before. Again, fourth harmonization doesn't necessarily work.
That didn't work at all.
It's like we were all of a sudden in medieval Europe.
we're in modes. What mode are we in? If I just said the word mode and you went modes, you haven't gotten laid in a while and you're a music nerd.
Hey, this might be some like medieval musicologist.
That's true.
This love could be so much more.
Oh. Who sings that song?
Taylor Dane.
Yes.
Yeah.
What happened to her?
She did a party at Mar-a-Lago and people.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She was on The Masked Singer as the popcorn and she sounded really good.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah. But a lot of her fans said, nope.
Oh, well.
That's what happens when you wade into that. So. Yeah, less said about her, the better.
Hey,
for me.
We're never doing a political function. I don't care what side they're on. It'll come back to bite us.
Let's talk about Britney.
Or actually,
we need to talk about Britney.
Who knew the vice president was sleeping? Is gay. Democratic nominee Herbert, whatever his name is, was found in a bed with Jake Anthony of the podcast Reality Gays. And they cut to Jake saying, well, I made a donation, and I guess it mattered.
And then he gave me one.
We're not doing it. Never.
He was talking sweet all night long. Told me about his slush fund.
You really would ruin a political candidate's
future. Oh, in a second.
Let's talk about Britney.
I would also
Britney,
be a
right.
great star witness at a trial.
It's true.
I'd come up there and like, Your Honor, I saw the whole thing.
Hey, it probably would be a Republican actually, because they're always the closeted ones.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So Britney, it's okay. There's also this, I think I want to bring it up and just move past it. But part of, I think, how do I say this? A lot, I was thinking about this on the last episode we watched. at least there are six or seven people, maybe six 90-dayers on this series.
Mm-hmm.
How many of them, for you, should actually be are ready to date and ready to... you know who I think might be? Danielle's ready. Danielle is actually ready.
I would have said yes until not this episode, but the latest episode that we just watched.
Yeah, I agree.
That kind of, y'all, woo.
But I'm saying
she's done on
with
this
some work.
Episode.
Brittany's not ready to date.
I don't think so. I do think she's more ready to date than
Ed.
Molly.
Oh, and Molly. Ed. Molly's at the bottom of the not ready to date pile.
And I mean, they're not really dating.
And I would put Fernanda there too.
And I think
Fernanda's not ready to date.
And Fernanda's not ready, honestly.
Especially to be in a relationship. She's not ready to be in a relationship.
Yeah, sorry, toxic gas coming out of me. I think the two people that are most ready to date are Danielle and Colt.
I agree with you, and I can't believe we're saying that.
I cannot believe we're saying that.
Wow.
Wow.
Classless.
They love love. Wow.
God, talk about someone who's not ready to date.
Give me Darcy and Stacy. When are they coming back?
But here's why it kind of struck me, because she said, you know, Justin is out of the picture because he just wanted to get inside my magic box.
And I don't think that's true totally, but
I think that is a simplification.
Yes.
However, and she's setting her up for this kind of fetishizing her vagina and as almost this reward for men working for it.
Yeah,
that's very true. And that, just that mindset, and I'm not saying
it's
you guys...
It's demeaning to her, actually.
It is.
It takes
Thank
her
you.
Personhood away from her and just makes her a pussy.
Right.
And that's not... And y'all, we don't look at... I mean, when we look at another man, we don't just see his dick.
Not at all. But no, I'm saying it... I'd love to change that opinion about her, that she's much more than just that, and that is the final reward for getting to know her.
I wonder if she does that because she seems to have some pretty deep shit about her past,
and trust issues,
her first marriage. So I wonder if it's easier for her to just kind of like put that kind of sexualized stamp on herself. So then she doesn't have to dig into other bullshit.
Yeah, I think so, which means she's not really ready for relationships.
Yeah, yeah.
And when we say not really ready, you guys, that means maybe it's counseling sessions, maybe it's taking time to work on yourself, self-care, maybe it's work with a therapist, it's something. These people, at least four of these people, need a lot of self-work. Before they need to,
but they're going
to
do it on TV instead for our enjoyment, and I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it. The single life is still
fair.
The single life is still really good. I agree.
I think this is, boy, beats Happily Ever After like a drum.
I really think I just wish it would go back to an hour long show. I think it would just be a better show in general.
You mean Happily Ever After or 90 Day?
Yeah, the main 90 Day franchise. I am enjoying Happily Ever After this season, though.
Yeah. You know, I said that, and then I thought about kind of what we've seen the last two episodes. I'm like, no, you're right. It's still garbage. It's still bad.
I like
it. So,
but you know what? Brittany's not ready. But you know who is ready? Her mama.
Her mama's ready for grandchildren. Specifically, tall grandchildren.
I want tall grandkids. That's what I want. I don't know why I'm sounding like old granny when I talk about her. But.
Even though Audrey's remarkably young looking.
I look younger than I am, darling. That's what she said to her daughter. Her mom is gorgeous.
Her mom comes in, starts making the bed. She's like, my mom will make you feel bad about yourself in an instant. So Brittany's mom's got a little mother poodle in her.
Well, I wondered, how did you feel when Brittany said, my mom is the sweetest and she's also a witch?
Yep. Sounds right.
She'll give you $1,000 and then tell you all the things you didn't want to hear about yourself.
Yeah, I was like, what's weird about that? That's quite normal. I think most moms are like that, aren't they?
Maybe. Have you been checking, by the way, your Mother's Day gift to see if it's going to arrive any earlier?
I think it's not going to be there until Monday.
Oh, man. You're going
to. It's because I chose a different flower delivery because.
That was your mistake.
I don't want to go off on this too much, but y'all, flower delivery is a racket. Sometimes they get things late, or when you do get things, my mother has sent me photos of desiccated, terrible piece of shit flowers.
I always look up on Yelp the local florist.
Yeah,
if there's one.
I usually do that too. This one closed during COVID.
Oh no!
So I was fucked. Flowers by Virginia, y'all, rest in peace.
Flowers by Virginia.
That was the name of it.
What a beautiful
Flowers by Virginia.
And you live in a small town, so there's not.
There ain't nothing.
Because my mom lives in a big city or more.
Ain't so nothing easier. But one place.
Oh, no.
So the place I, and I don't want to shit them on the podcast, because they did say, we apologize, your delivery has now been pushed to one day because you requested it too late. Even though I did it last Friday.
You should play them the voicemail that your mother's going to leave you.
It's fine. I'm going to call her and tell her it'll be there tomorrow. I'll send her some Amazon goodies, too.
Hopefully you can get her riled up about them and take the pressure off of you.
Yeah, she loves a good customer service crusade.
Yeah.
Yeah, good idea. Good idea.
Anyway, so Brittany, she says, you know, I wish her and Justin got back together because... Audrey says, I wish her and Justin got back together. I wish they would have worked out because he's tall.
That's her only qualification.
At first, when she walked in, I went, she is so beautiful. She's put together. Oh, she's so sweet, helping her mom. And I went, oh, some of the reason why Brittany has fucked up ideas about dating.
Totally.
And I think Brittany might need to not listen to her mother.
I agree. She's talking about Terrence, and she's going to go on the date with Terrence. And she's now. I kind of want to go the tape of what Brittany said about Terrence after their last date, because this seems to be revisionist history. About he's a little young for me. He's blah blah blah.
She didn't seem like over the moon about him.
Yeah.
And now it's like
Since this guy only wanted my magic box, what about that guy? I think I liked him. Now, this is textbook poodle move, y'all.
And
textbook. I will totally admit this, that I do the same thing.
And she ghosted Terrence, too.
She ghosted him.
Which is poodle Boudreaux move. Totally.
More me in my 20s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't
But literally,
do it now.
They went on a date, and he heard nothing for 2 to 3 weeks from her. After calling and texting.
This is interesting, and it's shitty to do this to people.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. I think one of the things with Brittany, I don't think Brittany's a bad person or anything like that.
That's not what I said.
But, well, no, I'm not going to say that. I'm prefacing with what I'm about to say. Because I'm going to say, I don't think Shivo, and I'm making this distinction because you can be a good person. Honestly, empathy is such the buzzword right now, which I'm glad. Empathy is really important. But I think a lot of times people think if you have empathy for someone, that makes you a good person. It has nothing to do with the value of the person. Like, you can be a dick and still have empathy for people because you understand them and don't care. But with Brittany, she's the other way around. Like, I just want to make that distinction. I think she's a fine person, but she is really not good at having empathy for other people
right.
and understanding how that would make them feel.
I think it's completely irrelevant what kind of person she is.
I think so, too. I feel like, though, people, like, I've heard the
We're
phrase,
not talking about that.
And it's made my own poodle soapbox of a lot of people say, oh, they're a good, empathetic person. I'm like, those are different things to me. That's all I would say. It was a little bit of a gay tangent. Sorry. But don't you agree that, like, if you look at Yazan and then look at this relationship, yes, Brittany had some things that she was right to be upset about. But at the same time, that was our thing with Yazan, is that we thought she's never seen the world from his view or trying to see that.
Yeah, I don't know. I wrote down, this whole thing is a farce. this whole thing with Terrence, the whole thing with Justin, I don't think it's completely made up. It's a farce.
I don't think it's made up. But
this storyline's a farce to me.
But it goes on to say that Terrence is coming over. She's not ready
That's
yet.
That's what I'm saying.
And she doesn't tell Terrence that her mother is going to be there.
And
y'all, meeting someone's mother on the second date,
that's fucked up. That's fucked up.
Especially when you know your mother's this type of personality.
Mother Poodle meets my fiance the night before we get married.
I wouldn't even be surprised if it was day of.
Yeah, it's better that way.
But
you're less likely to cause a scene.
Much less likely. But also, too, now I'm not saying women should smile. I don't mean it this way. But Brittany's mom gives him nothing.
Yeah, it's
her
just
demeanor,
like,
her affect. It's all kind of like, hello. Not she doesn't smile.
And
like,
she spills
nothing.
The beans about her fucking being married.
And then
before.
She starts telling all this stuff about him and grilling him, which is none of her fucking business.
Right. And I do have to say that.
But Brittany should have thought about that. She should have thought about.
But you know what? I give Brittany a little grace here. And let me tell you why. She forgets she was married too. So
she does. Forget
she forgets. So sometimes right, she just
I gotta
forget
tell
you were married.
I was married.
I forget too. Sometimes
she could have told Terrence, "Hey, I'm still getting ready." She lives in an apartment building.
I'll come down.
I'll meet you in the lobby.
Well, I'm sure production said, "Wait, why don't we have him come up and your mom can talk to him?" Should we tell him that's going to happen? No.
Okay. That sounds fine, y'all.
So, anyway, oh, God.
Brittany's mom immediately, Terrence is too short. He's handsome, but he's short.
God.
I got a lot of digging to do. You seem like a good person. Maybe.
So he brings up later on, they're going to do Manny's and Petty's. Which I think is a lovely kind of
I thought
thoughtful
this is very
date.
Thoughtful. He was like,
because she's had her arm.
And Terrence is like, we're going to go to Manny's and Petty's.
Yeah.
I didn't know she was married, so we'll talk about that maybe.
We'll talk about that maybe.
And Brittany says in her testimonial, she says it's, and I get this, she says it's hard to talk about her ex and she would want to wait. She basically says they were together at 17. It was toxic. She felt like that she was a possession, not a person. And
yeah,
that's horrible. That's all horrible. And it's horrible that that was her story to tell and she didn't get to tell it.
Yeah.
Because I agree. I don't think it's Terrence's business after a second date to know if she was married or not.
I agree.
I think that's something you maybe talk about like fourth, fifth date.
Well, in Ed Land, you talk about it on the first date. But I will say, this is these dates, kind of like Fernanda and Robbie, everything is artificially sped up for reality television.
Everything is artificially
so
sped up.
So I can't even tell you when you talk about things.
Yes.
But I think in the single life land, Terrence being, what, 24?
I think so.
And finding out Brittany was married before probably would send me reeling.
When I was 24 years old, because that's so young to get married,
right.
I'd be like, whoa.
Now they tell me, yeah, I've got 3 kids and 2 wives. I'm like, where do I sign?
Once you hit 40, you're like,
can I see a bank statement and credit report?
It's sure. Funny. If you're 40 and you haven't been married or in a long-term relationship, we're like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, I agree.
And there might not be anything wrong with you, but I'm just saying we think that.
No, we think that.
Yeah.
So he basically says he brings up the marriage and
they're flirting and giggling. He like brings it up in a casual way.
And he says, why wouldn't you tell me that you went on a date? We weren't exclusive. Why wouldn't you tell me?
Yeah, he says like, this isn't about me being jealous that you went on another date.
Why do you think she didn't tell him?
Honestly,
this is interesting. I have my own theory, but yeah.
I don't think she needed to tell him.
I agree.
I think it's none of his business if she was dating other people when they're first dating. However, she should not have ghosted him.
Right.
So,
because to me, those two things are contradictory.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if she was really into Justin, she should have said, hey, I've been dating other people. I'm kind of into this guy,
right.
And I want to see how this works out. Okay. But the thing
I respect the shit out of that when people have done that to me.
And the, but the thing is, Brittany doesn't want to do that because then what if I come, what if that doesn't work out with Justin, then I've got to start over.
Exactly.
So it's a selfish move.
Yeah.
It's selfish.
And that was my theory as well. But yeah, I kind of thought that she did not have to tell him he was doing that because they went on one date. However, this is a sped up reality. However, he could have, I think he was more concerned with the idea that she didn't tell him that he had gotten hurt, she had been hurt in the ATV accident on a date.
Yes.
And it was almost like she'd left that out purposefully. And
well, but it's so dumb. He lives in Detroit, so it's not like he would be like, no, hey, let's have a second date the next day.
I totally agree. I'm saying that she's leaving things out.
Yes.
So that's where he sees red flags.
Yeah, because if somebody's leaving, you're thinking, what else are they leaving out?
Exactly. And now he heard about the marriage, so he's like, what's next to drop?
Yeah, what's next?
Yeah. So he does, he still invites her up to his Airbnb.
Y'all, these are red flags, and if this happens to you, run.
And she's like, what are we going to do, cuddle? We need to talk about, now, y'all, there's nothing weirder than saying, so let's talk about what we're going to do with cameras right here.
It's hard.
There's nothing weirder.
I mean, with there being no cameras, I mean, it seemed to happen like, she was like, what are you going to do? And she said, cuddle. And he was like, okay. I mean, it was cute, but that's not fun to do when there's cameras on.
Well, it's kind of like this. So now, what did you think about her kissing him? Her grabbing the back of his head, kind of. To me, it gave me Ed flashes.
Oh, it kind of moved me.
No, I'm just saying, what's the difference? Let's talk about it.
Well, I think the difference is the age. That's a big deal.
I agree.
That's a big deal.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
No, yeah. I think the age is a different issue. I also think it's also, there's just a long.
He invited her up. He's sending her signals.
Yes, he invited her up. And there is. Let's just call it what it is. There is a little bit of misogyny or whatever sexism is.
Reverse sexism.
In that it's men haven't had thousands of years of being like as oppressed as women have by
exactly.
men. So there's that as well.
There's less.
So it doesn't bother me when I see a woman. I mean.
Would it bother you if Stephanie had done that to Ryan?
But yes. And that, but that brings, that's.
Right.
Apples and orange, that's like apples and not even oranges.
I know.
It's like apples but and asparagus.
But I'm saying that's why you can't turn this around.
Yeah, but I think
because people did, I saw something, people online, there was a little bit of saying she did the same thing that Big Ed did.
No.
I know, but I agree with
you.
No,
I'm glad you're playing devil's advocate. Because y'all, if you think that, it's not, like you said, the main thing is he invited her up. And
right.
also, to be honestly, she said, how about cuddling? And he said, yes. And look, you know, as an adult, if you're going to cuddle, you're probably going to kiss a little bit.
Right.
So to me, they didn't say like, can I cuddle with you or can I kiss you? But that was consent in there already.
Yeah. No, so, I agree with you. She did look a little clumsy doing it.
Well, she has one arm.
I don't know if she normally makes the first move.
I don't think she does. I honestly think probably for Brittany, with the kind of the hurt she's gone through, that was probably a big deal for her.
Maybe.
You know? And so I just hope that it's, and you know, and spoiler alert, not a big deal, but they don't have sex. And we find that out next episode, but they don't have sex. So,
right.
I think that it was, I thought it was a nice moment.
For me, it just felt, it's not that it wasn't nice for me. For me, it just felt like, I guess we're here. Let's do this. It didn't feel like romantic at all for me.
Oh, 100% agree. It did not. It wasn't romantic
That's
at all.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want to chalk it up to be a nice moment at all.
But I guess when I say it wasn't, it was just kind of like, great. I
Because I, you know,
I
why?
I feel sorry for Terrence.
I'm not invested in them at all because I feel like Terrence is the second option and she's trying to sell us on option B.
Yeah.
And I'm not interested.
Y'all, spoiler alert,
I'm not
buying. I don't think they're going to be together.
No, 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 no. Y'all, we're going to take a commercial break right now. But when we come back, we're going to talk about cult and kink. Cult kinks.
Do we have to?
Regardless.
Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know, the song The Scientist about me?
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals.
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Manny, this reminds me, you know that song from the Four Tops, Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender.
Uh-oh, y'all. Poodle is singing seductive songs. That must mean we're about to go out on tour again. Ugh, sissy husbands, beware.
Whatever Poodle wants, Poodle gets. Well, you're right about one thing, Maddie. We are going out on tour, but that's not the only reason I'm positively randy. I have spring fever.
Is that something that a trip to the clinic or an antibiotic can fix?
Afraid not. When Piano Cat senses the weather getting warmer, she knows it's time to jettison those jackets and sweaters for items that show a little more skin.
Well, I hate to tell you, Poods, but you still have to cover up a little with those tour costumes. In Chicago, you were actually cited for obscenity.
Fascists! I will wear what I want and no one can stop Poodle Boudreaux!
They said next time it would be a $1,000 fine.
Maybe I could cover up a little bit. leave something to the men's imaginations, but I don't want to wear too much. You know how I get hot.
Well, Piano Cat, I think it's your lucky day. Have you seen the new spring stuff at Quince? They have all the seasonal must-haves, like 100% European linen shirts from $30, performance polos, and versatile flow knit activewear.
Ooh, I love those Quince performance polos. They're so soft and sumptuous, and they cut my body in all the right places. They're also great for when my daddy and I do country club tennis role play. Mixed doubles indeed.
Wow. As I was saying, with Quince, you can say goodbye to wasting money on clothes that it would only last one season. They've got high-quality pieces that never go out of style that you'll be wearing year after year. I love my blue cashmere hoodie. It's perfect for warm spring days and cool spring nights.
And people can't stop complimenting me on my leather cafe racer jacket that I've been wearing on our live shows. It's super chic and fitted and perfect for keeping me warm in those drafty northeastern backstage areas.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes.
I love that. But Maddie, I don't think that Quince has cured my spring fever. It's only made it worse. Bring on the men.
Yike. Sissies, upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/realitygaze for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's QUINCE.com/realitygaze to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/realitygaze. Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline.
Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC.
For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching.
There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring.
Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
My darling Vanessa, I miss you more than words can say. As I right here next to the battlefield where we have spilled the blood of Yankee troops, I am reminded of how beautiful your womb is in the morning light. I cannot wait to see you and the cats again. Could you please give them kisses? And give Cookie Dough a nice brushing. I would also appreciate it if you would give my mother, my sainted mother, a long wet tongue kiss, as is our custom. I cannot wait to see you in the morning light again, your womb splayed open for me to put my head in, and then to copulate with you 4, 5, possibly 10 times a day, as many times as I need it, and to spill my seed upon your beautiful face as the blood dripped down of our fearless troops. Yours always, Sergeant Colt. I don't know where that went, but
I don't. I need a shower now.
Y'all, Colt's into Civil War role play. Whatever that is. I just guessed what that was. I think I'm freaky deaky sometimes with, like, when I'll suggest role play. I've also never suggested graveyard at night role play. I'm just like, are you digging up a body and fucking on top of it?
He's like, it's spooky.
I'm like, What are you doing? First of all, it's okay. It's the idea of going into a graveyard at night and kind of like making out is one thing. But why are you, what are you doing in a role play that you need to be in a graveyard? Casting spells doesn't involve dead bodies and parts. Like trees.
It makes no
owls.
Sense.
Owls.
I didn't like, is it like a fun, like.
And an owl watching you fuck on a grave? I was disturbed. And I'm freaky deaky. Anyway, that's Civil War erotica. Apparently it was a thing. Your womb is open. That's what I think Civil War people would call a vagina, as a womb. I think they would only refer to it.
What would they call a penis?
Member. My member. My bulging, ebullient member. Full of blood, like the blood I have spilled on the Battle of Cowpens.
Y'all, be sure to get your Civil War letter from Poodle.
And if you want erotica, you can.
If you want Civil War
erotica,
that's
going to be extra. That's going to require me doing a lot more. That was kind of gross. I will say, I'm kind of sad I ruined, because Civil War letters, the reason why I started doing them is because I think they're so wonderful and they're so special, but that people talk that way and they were so far away. And they're always like, to a degree, they're very, people are more literate than they used to be.
Wait.
And it's just beautiful the way they talk about, like you were just talking, the letter from Sullivan Ballou is one of the most beautiful things you've ever heard.
Do you think language is ever, like, we're dumbing down in language, do you think it's ever going to make a turnaround?
You don't need to get me on this soapbox. I will talk for hours. We'll have to return to reading again. And not just Harry Potter. No, not downplaying Harry Potter, but works that were written preferably before 1990. Even though you can pick up a book now that's written now and it's very, very literate, but it's different. You learn to, your language is, I think I said this before, Sissy Chris sent me a book that said, or a mug that said, read 1,000 books and your words will flow like water. Mm. That's true. That's how we learn to speak. That's how we learn to communicate.
That's true.
And that's why we say things like important now and, you know, everything else we do. Because no one reads anymore because everybody's dumb.
Anyway. That's a pretty short box.
I agree.
For that.
I agree. So y'all, Colt and Vanessa are going to Big Bear to have the big sex. And he's preparing with body paint and edible lube and all the disgusting things you can think of.
But more importantly, he's bringing that ring because it don't mean a thing if you ain't got that ring. You're crazy, swing, crazy, swing, crazy, 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 crazy.
So they're talking about sex, and Vanessa says, you know, sex is important, but it's not the main thing. And did you notice on the way they were talking about having sex a lot, did you know that Vanessa said fuck more than I do?
Okay. She like...
Not that I'm being a prude. I'm like, oh, well, look at her. She's got quite the mouth on her.
She's just like, so you want to fuck all the time, and then you fucking
fuck
get
me.
Up, and you want to fucking fuck fuck,
wanna
and
fuck
then we're
fuck
fucking
hole.
Fucking fuck fuck, and we're fucking fuck fuck fuck.
Again. I'm that was a fuck chandelier scream.
It was.
I'm no prude about the word, but even I was like, okay, find a new word.
It seemed gratuitous for no reason.
Yeah.
I'm all about cussing. But y'all,
it's a strange thing to support.
When you cuss, there should be...
It should have import to it.
Yes.
Yeah. Important.
Yes, import. Yes. It should... It means something.
She also says, he says he needs sex 4 to 5 times a day. Which is a lot.
It's a lot.
If I gave a performance like 4 to 5 times a day like I am accustomed to, I would be exhausted.
We wouldn't be doing this show.
No.
You.
I think if you're doing it 4 to 5 times a day, your performance suffers.
Also, you wouldn't be able to wipe your ass because you couldn't touch it because it would be bleeding.
Probably true. Like the fields on which our enemies bled.
Wow.
Wow.
So now, but it kind of, and he even talks about like, would you do marriage again? And she's like,
yeah.
Maybe it's a little too soon. She's
so
like,
maybe read the room, honey.
But she brings up, you know, because Colt's thinking this would make them closer together. And Vanessa's like, hey, look, I want you to be happy. I love you to death as a best friend. But if the sex is not enough, you need to tell me now. And we need to move on and go our separate ways.
And you know what? Good for her for saying that.
Yeah.
Because that gets to the root of her trust issues. Because she thinks, kind of rightly, that he keeps wanting more sex.
What
and
comes
more
out
sex.
More in the next episode, yeah. But yeah, it is, and it's deeper.
And the reason why he's cheated before, or she thinks, is because he hasn't been able to satisfy his constant need for sex, which I'm really, every time I say that Colt needs sex 5 times a day, mm-hmm. there is like a little tiny kitten that opens its mouth, goes meow, and someone goes slap. Someone slaps a kitten.
Don't
every
you know?
Time every time I think about that,
he ain't gonna stop until he's satisfied.
Gross.
Who's that's a good song.
Richard Marx.
Y'all, if you're not following Richard Marx on Twitter,
oh, he's amazing.
He's fucking hilarious.
I also love that I knew that immediately because I had that tape.
What's a tape? I'm not familiar.
Oh, you had them too. You had them too.
We really need a shirt that says, I'm not familiar.
Yeah, we need that merch.
How's the other merch coming?
Next week.
Okay.
So... Then he has to make. Then he talks about the Civil War erotica, and then we also learned that Colt talks a lot during sex. Now I'm not above doing a little dirty talk.
Oh, I enjoy it.
Didn't ever need to know that.
Oh yeah, love it.
Gross.
Love it.
Like
spit on me and call me your Manchurian candidate.
That makes no sense. None. So anyway, we get into the scenarios of the graveyard at night, Civil War, and then she even asks him, why did you cheat on Jess if she gave you sex all the time? So neither of them are good at communicating, kind of like Big Ed and Liz.
No.
Well,
they're
way
better.
That's true. They're trying to.
And on the spectrum of where Colt was before, he's communicating better.
No, I agree. I just think he's got some... Colt's on the spectrum. He's got to be. There's something in his affect that's a little flat.
It feels... I think, you know, we called him a sociopath before, or I did.
Well, now that Big Ed's here, he's completely redeemed.
But I think looking now that I know the whole picture, there is like there's emotional cues that Colt misses.
Yep.
And I feel like sometimes Colt is the cues he are giving are what he has taught himself that, oh, these are the normal things you're supposed to say and do.
Right.
So that way you fit in with society.
So maybe he wasn't socialized to that degree.
I actually feel for him because I think probably there is something. And he was homeschooled.
What a turn for you.
Well, he was homeschooled.
Yeah.
And so he was just, I think he lived a very isolated, I think Mother Debbie isolated him a bit more.
Right.
And so he didn't have that socialization.
And it's mostly computers. And,
yeah. And
I can see that.
Ed has a very elaborate D&D computer game that he's been playing with
Colt.
Buddies. Or why do I keep saying Ed? Colt has a very
Don't
elaborate.
Don't do Colt like that.
Yeah, I know. Wow, we're defending Colt.
Who knew?
He's
still shitty. Don't worry.
But he's got a D&D game that's been going on for at least 10 years.
I agree with that.
With people he's never met in person.
Colt, oh, definitely. Colt says, we would get all A's except for sex and intimacy. Again, this kind of rating and grading things, not really helpful.
Mm-mm.
So they get to the hotel.
There is a castle in Big Bear. I like to take my girlfriend there.
Oh, very nice.
Fucking a lot and touch her hair. In my castle in Big
Bear.
I will say, you didn't match the rhyme scheme of the original, but I give you points for it.
On the fly.
You tried too much. You tried too hard.
Well, you know.
Although, you know what? The music does rhyme. I'm going to get off this subject.
You know what sucks? Is that, y'all, this is this castle-themed hotel, and what really sucks
so
is
ridiculous.
I'm nerdy enough that I might have gone here, but now that I know that Colt and Vanessa fucked in this bed, I will never set foot in this room.
Shannon the Fairy Queen comes out, y'all, whose real name is Brenda.
Shannon comes out. Shannon's living her best fairy life. She's got on Renaissance attire.
Such a fine lord bringing the luggage up.
She's got sparkle glitter strands in her hair.
Yeah.
She's boy. Like, welcome to the castle of Big Bear. Where
hello,
all
my
your,
lady and my lord.
Where all your dreams are fantasies that come true.
Now, Colt
y'all,
is-
I went to their website. It looks like a website that was made in 1994.
With MS Paint?
Yeah. It's very lavender.
Oh, God.
They wouldn't know what Adobe Flash
or
is.
Squarespace.
Flash is if it hit them in the face. Like, nothing's vector. It's hilarious.
Wow.
Which is kind of Big Bear. Big Bear does feel very...
It does feel like it's 20 years
behind.
Yeah. I agree with you.
It's pretty. Big Bear's very pretty.
So Colt is putting on what looks like wizard robes.
Yes.
And she's got kind of like serving wench barmaid clothes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's more role play, which I'm sure they did.
There's a lot of m'lady.
Yeah, a lot
and
of
if,
that.
If it's poodle, m'lady will quickly become my dick. My dick.
My dick.
Good
morning, my dick.
Gordon, good morning, my dick.
Good morning, my dick. So they're talking, and I think they're just sitting here. She's like, so, we'll have sex a couple of times.
I think Vanessa is stressing about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, she
way,
is.
Way more than Colt.
Yeah.
I do think for Colt, he likes it, but Vanessa...
It is intimidating.
We feel this. She's like, I feel this pressure that now I'm your girlfriend and I'm having this anxiety. And if I don't sleep with you enough, you're going to cheat on me.
It makes me sad because Vanessa is having insecurities because she thinks in a way she's not, quote, good enough for Colt.
Well, it'll come out more.
Take that in.
It's coming out more next episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take that in, everybody. That means if you've ever had a passing thought that you weren't good enough for a guy like Colt, please throw that away. Take that thought, and that is unhealthy.
We all have it, and it's not helpful at all.
No.
And it's obvious. And if you look at the evidence of your life, it's not true.
No, it is a thought, not truth.
Yep. There you go.
So
truthiness.
So basically. He's like, I feel more pressure. She said, I feel more pressure now that
I'm
your girlfriend because you might cheat. And I wrote, Colt, adjust glasses.
Colt, adjust glasses. And Colt said, I'm not going to do that. If it doesn't work out, I will tell you and we will go on our way. That's what he says.
You know,
I got to give it to Colt. He's trying.
I can't believe I'm going to say this. This might be one of the most stable relationships on the show.
As someone said before, Colt has made maybe a complete 360.
He's right back where he were. Wait.
Wait.
Who
was it that said, I don't remember.
I don't know.
So many people say it.
I think it's a complete 360.
Y'all, it's a 180.
Again, Education. Very important.
Important. Let's talk about Molly.
It's very short.
Molly, 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 you are insecure. Molly, 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 we love you, but girl, don't date. So y'all, we're at the picture. Kelly's seen the picture.
Where let's just back up and kind of lay this out and how ridiculous and how crazy it sounds. She
stalked his ex-girlfriend. She saw his ex-girlfriend has a kid that maybe lines up when he was dating her.
And all her friends think so, which is a very normal thing to do.
And now she thinks he has a love child that was never spoken to him, and she's got to tell him that he
or
has a kid.
He's lied to her about it.
Yes.
Which is even worse.
What does not enter in her mind is all is, I wonder if this is my insecurity making this shit up so that way I can self-sabotage this relationship.
Yeah, that she
not
doesn't,
at all.
That she doesn't hear.
Not an option.
It's interesting, though, because if she was to think about the reality of him saying, I want kids with you, and that he's open to kids.
And that he wants kids.
Right.
That completely terrifies her as well.
But that's why it's self-sabotage, because she is desperately trying to find something to show him, see, you're a liar. See, I was right about you.
Yeah.
It makes me sad.
It.
He does say, she does show him. And I will say, nothing makes you sound crazier to anyone, whether you're male or female, than saying, I saw this on Facebook. I think this is your child.
And you can tell by his face. I mean, I was kind of surprised how kind of well he takes it.
Yeah.
Because he's like, that's not my kid.
Up. Yeah.
And he's like, it's not my kid. And she says, but don't you see it in the eyes? I see it.
I see his face. I see your face.
Like, no. And then the producer says, what are the details of that past relationship? And Kelly says, the details are we broke up. I haven't spoke to her in a while. And I asked her, and she said that wasn't my child. And
right.
I don't have a tolerance for this nonsense.
So, and he's like, he even says, luckily, Molly didn't fingerprint me or get a blood test or something like that. Now, that tells me there's one part of him that says it could be my child. But however, the mother has said, absolutely, this is not your child. I do not want you in my child's life. That should be enough.
That's enough. Because Kelly tells Molly, if it's my kid, I'm going to take care of my kid.
That should be enough for Molly. Instead of getting into his business and getting into a child who may or may not be his.
Yes. And Kelly says, are you okay? Do you trust me? And she said, yes. And then he brings up, he says, please don't sabotage this relationship.
Because I want to have kids with you.
Of what you've had in the past. And then he said, if I have a child, you want to take care of that? And Molly goes, oh, God.
So,
oh, no.
And she's almost guilty of a worse secret by telling him, by not mentioning she does not want to have children.
Well, I'm confused if she's told him that or not. I don't know if we know all that.
Well, she's...
I'm genuinely asking.
He keeps saying it
but
to her.
But has she said that yet? Like, I don't know. That I'm asking. I don't... We haven't seen her.
Well, we have not seen her tell him no. We've seen her saying in the confessionals.
It's going to be next episode.
Yeah. And I will say, he does know she's 45. Unless she has... Now, women can have babies when they're 45, but it's a lot more work.
It's harder on them. He also does say to her, you want to make me a daddy? If I had a dollar for every time someone said that to me, boy... I'd have about $40. Still allow.
That's the show for me.
That's the show too.
It's weird.
Sorry, that daddy comic took me to a place, and I'm bringing up a lot of past memories.
I've never called someone daddy.
Oh no, yes. So many down low guys that I've been with want to be called daddy. Oh yeah,
I don't think I've ever been with a down low guy
that you know of
that I know of.
Y'all, Poodle and I don't really get a history when we were hooking up. It's basically like,
I don't get the full first name.
It's just kind of like, are you tested? What do you have? What are you taking? Okay, great. Let's do this.
How long will it take?
Yeah.
Where are you?
Show me the penis.
Location.
Okay, there we
go. All the necessaries.
All the necessaries. If you have kids, if you want to be called daddy, we don't know. We just kind of find out.
It's weird. I've just never called anyone that.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah. It's happened to me a lot.
I think guys have referred themselves to as daddy. I've never
said
it.
You've never had a guy pounding you like a flank state saying you something like, you like what daddy gives you?
No. Or I think I've had them refer to themselves. I've never kind of affirmed it. I don't know. I've
never had somebody say when they're like, you know, doing shit to you, say like, your daddy's bitch now, you're going to take it because daddy said you're going to take it now?
No.
Well, that's a show I haven't either. Okay, let's move on. Y'all, you can go to realitygatespodcast.com.
I don't know if my sexual escapades involve as much humiliation as yours does. So,
please, sir, some
although they do try to choke me, don't know why. My swan like neck needs to be choked, and I'm like, nope, don't do that. I can't breathe.
Y'all, we're sorry. We're gonna see you. We've already watched the second episode or the next episode. I have to say, it's a good episode.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
be
yeah,
sure
yeah.
to tune into that. We appreciate y'all so much. You can go to realitygazepodcast.com. Be sure to check out our interview, if you haven't listened on already, with Jody Rein from Pig Royalty. Also, y'all, we want to let you know that we're going to be having some stuff coming down in the pipeline, so stay tuned. We're talking about some summer shows, so we like to tease.
Summer shows!
Stuff's coming. Also, if you're in the Facebook group, come at us. We have fun in there in our private Facebook group. Also, our charity for this week, or this month, is we're helping out. India is suffering horribly, obviously, with the COVID pandemic.
SIWA International. That's our charity.
So SIWA International is our charity for this month. You can donate directly on Facebook, or you can go to the SIWA site yourself and donate there. We just wanted to bring awareness and help our Indian sissies that we're sending love to. We have had some sissies from India that have messaged
and
us.
And we've had people who've matched a sissy matched a $1,500 donation.
Yeah, so we raised over $3,000.
We've raised over $3,000.
So keep it going, queens. Y'all, if you go to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review, we appreciate it very much. Even if you don't know what to write, just write, keep going, queens. And y'all, and with that, we're going to see you next week, all right? And remember, we call these people Lonely Hearts, Poodle, because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love in all the wrong places? Oh, Jesus.
Yes, my darling. And when I do see you again, if you would splay your womb open in the winder so I may know it is a safe place to come home to, Paul Revere style. And you may know to call us.
mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.